The Bible reading is found on page 1153. It's 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 11. Concerning spiritual gifts. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus is cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kind of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines.
Great. Thank you, Babs. Good morning. Good morning. My name's Mark. It's good to see you all. As Steve said, we are kicking off a new series this morning, and for the next few weeks we're going to be looking at spiritual gifts. And in fact, if you're in one of our Church Connect groups, you're also going to be looking at spiritual gifts in your Connect groups as well. So it's going to be a real focus for us over these coming weeks. Just to start with, a question for you, and you can think about this on your own, or you can turn to the person next to you. And the question is this, it will come up on the screen. What's the best gift you've ever been given? Now, you could be really spiritual and say, it's Jesus. If that's you, that's great. But think outside of that, okay? Think about physical things that you've been given this morning, okay? And so turn to the person next to you and tell them. Good. I like a little murmur of conversation, get you thinking this morning. It's good, it's good. I was thinking about this week, and when I was about 8 or 9 years old in the mid-80s, I know I don't look that young, but I am, and my favourite thing to play with, and the thing I watched on TV, was a cartoon called The Transformers, which were robots that turned into trucks and things. And one Christmas, I think it was 1985, that's Optimus Prime there, and he was the leader of the goodies, and that was the gift that I wanted, and it was the gift that year that was sold out of all the shops. And I remember putting it on my Christmas list and my parents coming to talk to me and say, I don't think we're going to be able to get it. Can you imagine 8-year-old Mark, how devastated I was at that? And then Christmas Day came and I was like, oh, there's a sense of sort of disappointment. And then did you ever do this? Have you ever done this for your kids? It looked like all the presents had gone. And then they went and got another box. And they gave it to me, and it was Optimus Prime, and it was for me, and bless him, my dad had queued at Toys R Us in Basildon for hours. Imagine just having to go to Basildon and yet spend hours there. But he went, and sorry if you're from Basildon, and he went and he queued up and he got me. And I still look back at that as like the best Christmas ever and possibly one of the best gifts I've ever got. Parents know how to give good gifts to their children. In fact, Jesus refers to this in Luke chapter 11. Jesus says, do you know what? If you who are evil, if you who miss the mark, if you who get things wrong, Jesus says, know how to give good gifts to your children. Jesus then says, how much more How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, if we as parents can figure out our kids, and if we know what they want, and if we can give them good gifts, how much more does our Heavenly Father, who's perfect, who gets everything right, know how to give good gifts? And how much more does he want to give the Holy Spirit to us? And that is really, I think, for me, the premise of these next few weeks, that God is passionate and he's keen to give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. We've said this a few times over the last few weeks. It's a recurring theme that when we become Christians, when we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, God places his Holy Spirit inside of us. If you're someone who has accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning, the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. It says in Romans chapter 5 that God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. If you want a good definition of what a Christian is, it's someone who's had the love of God poured inside their hearts. Do you feel loved this morning? Yeah? God loves you if you know him, because he's poured his love into your heart through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us when we become a Christian, when we become a follower of Jesus. And a result of being born again, a result of having the Holy Spirit living inside of us, is the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts that the Spirit brings. It says this in what Babs read to us in 1 Corinthians 12:7. Says this, now to each one, the each ones are those who know Jesus. To each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It says so here that if you've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you, some gifts will be given, a manifestation of the Spirit, something that can be seen. And here in 1 Corinthians 12, some of those gifts are listed. There's a list also in Romans chapter 12 and in Ephesians 4 as well. Those are the three passages that tend to list the gifts of the Spirit. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians chapter 4. And across those three passages, there are 25 different gifts that are listed. But no list is identical. None of those lists have exactly the same gifts of the Spirit listed. And that seems to suggest to me that actually they're not exhaustive lists. That those aren't the only gifts of the Holy Spirit. That there's a sense that God, by his Spirit living in us and working in us, can almost turn anything that we say or that we do into a gift of his Holy Spirit. If it's for the common good, if it's going to bless other people, if it's going to help to show how good God is to other people. So over these few weeks, we're going to pick a few of those. And we're going to look and we're going to unpack them. Some of perhaps the more common gifts that are used. And I hope in your home groups and your connect groups you'll have those conversations and you'll start to understand and we'll start to see how God wants to gift us. Just a few thoughts before we get into the meat of this passage. And it's really to say this and to acknowledge that in my experience, and I think in church history as well, the gifts of the Spirit have at times been abused and misused. I've been in situations where I've seen these gifts used and abused and not for good things. And that actually that often because of that, people can be put off the gifts of the Spirit or kind of ignore them and take a step back. I don't want to go near that. It's a bit odd. It's a bit weird. It's caused me hurt. It's caused me pain in the past. So actually I'll pretend they're not there in the Bible and we'll kind of skip over them. Now, there's been times where maybe they've sort of been misinterpreted or been misrepresented and it's very worst, almost become a bit of a show. And almost like showmanship has been used to use the gifts of the Spirit. If that's been your experience, I want to say sorry. If that's what's happened to you, and if that's what the church has done, not this church necessarily, but the church, or if what you've seen of the Spirit, I want to say sorry, because that isn't how these gifts should be used. That isn't God's heart for these gifts. These are gifts that are going to bless, that are going to encourage, that just like that Christmas day for me back in 1985, put a smile on my face, thought, wow, this is great. How much more? How much more does your Heavenly Father want to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit? Don't let your past experiences put you off. And maybe for some of us, this series can be a new slate, a clean slate, a chance to re-examine and approach the gifts again. I'm just going to pray for us, and then we're going to get into the meat of this passage. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you've given your Holy Spirit to us as a blessing. Thank you that your Holy Spirit pours your love into our hearts. And Father, as we start this series now, we want to say yes to you, yes to what you want to say to us and what you want to teach us. Help each one of us to discover the gifts of your Spirit afresh, I pray. Would this be an exciting few weeks for our church? In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to focus on verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12 today. And this is what it says. We'll put it back up on the screen. Now to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And that's our first point this morning, and it's there in red. And it's this, that everyone is gifted, and that includes me. Everyone is gifted, and that includes me. To each one, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus this morning, his Holy Spirit, as we said, is living inside of you, and your life has been transformed. You are one of the each ones that he's referring to in verse 7. You are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5 says that. Anyone who is in Christ, a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. It's an incredible thought, isn't it? That in Jesus, we are new kinds of human beings. We are restored, we're forgiven. And as Paul says here, we are gifted. We are gifted. The idea that there exists an ungifted Christian is an oxymoron. You can't have an ungifted follower of Jesus, an ungifted Christian. You know, it says so here, to each one is given a manifestation, something to be shown of the Spirit for the common good. And I can see looking out here that some of you need some convincing on this. That we don't feel that gifted this morning. And there's a sense that this church in Corinth felt like that as well. In fact, three times, building up to 1 Corinthians 12 in this letter, three times already in this letter, Paul has reiterated to the church that they have the Holy Spirit living in them, that the Spirit is in them and working in them. I think some verses will come up here. There's actually four there. Ignore the second to last one. I don't know how that sneaked in. 1 Corinthians 4 verses 4 to 7 isn't one of these passages, okay? But in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12, Paul says to them, the Holy Spirit is living in you. Holy Spirit is there. In 1 Corinthians 3, 16, he says the same. Don't forget, the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. And 1 Corinthians 6, 19, again, he reiterates that Spirit is there, living and working inside of you. Just like some of us go, really? Is that true? Holy Spirit's living in me? He's working away in me? Well, this is what the church in Corinth were feeling at the time. There's a sense that some of them had forgotten this. That they didn't feel gifted. That they felt that they didn't have anything to offer God. And then we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, and Paul says this to them, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. As I said, they were uninformed, you know, that they weren't quite picking up on this, that they weren't quite understanding what God wanted to do in their lives. I wonder whether that's true for some of us this morning. That maybe we feel like we don't have anything to offer. We've forgotten that actually God has placed gifts inside of us. Maybe we used to be active, we used to feel energetic and full of life and we were involved in stuff, but over the years we've kind of found excuses, the busyness of life and other things, and we're not using those gifts for us anymore. I think for some of us this morning, as I was sitting even just this morning at my kitchen table, just thinking and praying before I came out, that there's a sense that maybe for some of us we have had gifts in the past, and there's been moments where we've been ridiculed for those gifts. We've been humiliated, and someone said, you know, we've tried something, and someone's kind of run us down afterwards, even inside the church, and they said, that wasn't good, or why did you do it that way? And then we thought, well, if that's the case, I'm not going to use that anymore. I'm going to put that away. I'm not going to have that experience again. Been overlooked. Now the truth is, this morning, that everyone is gifted. And that includes you. If you're a follower of Jesus, His Spirit lives inside of you. Romans 8 says this, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Imagine how much energy, how much power it took to raise Christ from the dead. He's living in you. He's living in me. In verse 11, all of these gifts are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one as He sees fit. God looks at you, He looks at me, Spirit hovers over us, and He says, this is what you're gonna be able to do. This is what's gonna work in this situation. Here's how I want to gift you. Each one of us is gifted. The next thing this passage shows us is that we've all got a gift to show as well. My gifts must be shown. Now to each one, Paul says, is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. This word, manifestation, we've talked about this before on Sunday mornings. It means to show, to demonstrate. And it's not good enough for us just to know that we're gifted. The purpose is for our gifts to be on display. And that isn't a showing off thing. That's not a showmanship thing. That is about us using our gifts. Not just knowing up here, but being able to use them. In Matthew 25, we see one of Jesus' most famous parables, I'd imagine. The parable of the talents. The great story, you know, the master is going away, so he gives his wealth to three of his servants. To one he gives 5 talents, that was a weight of money at the time. To another he gives 2 talents, and to a third one he gives 1 talent. The one who has 5, you'll know, he trades. And he makes 5 more, he doubles his money, his master's money. The one who had 2, he makes 2 more. He doubles his master's money. And the one who had 1, he digs a hole and he hides it. The master returns and praises the 2 who invested their talents that they were given, because it blesses their master. He goes mad at the one who has buried his talent. And it's fascinating that if you've got time to go and read that parable later, the emphasis is on the guys, is on the servant who dug the hole. He gets the most time. He gets the most commentary in that passage. The one who fails to respond to his master's generosity is who the focus is on. Now there's a sense that the first 2, they make their talent, they make their gift manifest, they use it, they invest it, they trade it. The 3rd guy, he knows what he's got, but he buries it. Why did he bury his talent? What is the story? Can you remember? Why does he bury his talent? He's afraid. Yeah, he says, I was afraid. I know that you're a tough man. I know that you're a precise man. I didn't want to lose it. I didn't want to mess up. I didn't want to upset you. And there's a sense there that the master actually wouldn't have cared. If actually he'd tried to do something with it, but lost it, there's a sense he wouldn't have got so mad. What makes him mad is that he didn't even try. That fear made him bury it deep. Listen, don't let fear stop you or stop me making our gifts manifest, of using our gifts. Say, maybe this has happened to some of us. Maybe we've been tripped up in the past. Maybe we've had a bad experience. Now, it's 1 John 4, God's perfect love drives out all fear. Come close to God. Understand that his love has been poured into your heart. Allow that to drive out all fear. Stop digging holes. Stop digging holes. Use the gift that God has given you. And a third point, the final point is this, that our gifts are for the benefit of everyone. To each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, for each and every person. God's gift that he's given you is to be used so that it blesses other people. I love the picture that Paul uses later on in Corinthians about the body, about the church and God's family being a body, that every part is needed. He calls us limbs, and he says, you know, just like in a body, when each part does its work, we all benefit. When the lungs breathe, the whole body benefits. When the eyes see, the whole body benefits. When the nose smell, the whole body benefits. When your feet smell, maybe not. Just checking you're still awake. Yeah, the body needs to work together. This is God's new creation. This is his new humanity. This is how he's brought us together to operate. It's the body of Christ. The body of Christ. We're to be like Jesus. What was Jesus like? He was generous. He brought blessing. He put other people first. Jesus used his spiritual gifts for the common good. And that's what we're to do as Jesus' body together. You need to know what your gift is. You need to have a commitment to show and to use your gift so that the whole body of Christ benefits. And so in fact, so that those outside begin to benefit as well. When you know that you're gifted, then you can make your gifts visible. And when we do that, it's for the common good. It blesses other people. Know that you're gifted. Have a commitment to show and use your gifts. And then begin to put them in place for the common good. So where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? What's our commitment for the rest of this series over these next few weeks? Here are four things that we can commit to do, four ways that we can grow our gifts. Recognize your gifts. Now that's easier said than done, isn't it? Knowing how we're gifted. And this is why I want to encourage you to come over these next few weeks. If you're thinking, well, what is it that I'm gifted in? How can God gift me? Where is it that I can be used? Then come over these next few weeks and we'll help you to see that. And in your connect groups as well, talk to other people. That's the second thing. Ask others. Other people are great at recognizing things in us that we don't always see, aren't they? To talk to other people. Say, where do you think I'm gifted? What do you think my gifts are? How do you think God might want to use me? And then give it a go. Take a risk. Now, God's not going to criticize you for giving it a go. As I said in that parable, do you know what? I think that the master, he was just annoyed the guy had dug the hole. If he'd given it a go and taken a risk, I think he would have been happier. Give it a go. This isn't X Factor or Britain's Got Talent, you know, where there's going to be X's coming up on the screen. If you do something and give it a go and it doesn't go right, take a risk. And then look to develop them as well over these next few. Look to develop them. I love 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. Fan into flame, Timothy, the gift of God. Fan into flame. You know, maybe that can be your prayer over the next few weeks. God, help me to fan into flame the gift that you have given me. I want to grow in that. And something that could help you. Maybe you're thinking, do you know what? My next step needs to be this. Needs to be, you know, recognizing and finding my gifts and developing them. And something that can help you is on the, what we've talked about a lot, is on the 6th of July. We've got our Encountering the Holy Spirit Day. Can you see what we've done here? It's almost like we've planned it for this series, isn't it? You know, in just a few weeks' time, it's part of this series. You can come along on the Saturday and just for a few hours and discover more about the work of the Spirit, discover more of his gifts, and a day for fanning into flame, for developing and fanning into flame the gift that God has given you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for the privilege and the incredible privilege it is of having your Holy Spirit living inside of us. Thank you that your Holy Spirit brings gifts. And Father, we want to position ourselves at the start of this series to say that yes, we are gifted. Even if we don't know and recognize those gifts at the moment, Father, that we want to say, yes, I am. I choose to believe that I am. And now, Father, would you help us as the body of Christ to recognize those gifts, to have a commitment to show them and to use them. Because we want to do that for the common good. Father, help me not to selfishly hold on to my gift, but help me to commit to use the gifts you've given me.